Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Davis steps under center. Gibson and McClendon behind him. Davis with motion by Richard will give the ball to McClendon. He leaps.
Oh, he doesn't get in. He fumbled the football. Carolina holds. The game is over. And Carolina has won the game.
Finley to throw. Over the middle, intercepted. Wolfolk again. Wolfolk the other way. At the 30, the 40. Wolfolk to midfield. Miles Wolfolk with the pick. The heels on the doorstep of an enormous victory.
Left side of the line. Hood standing to Williams to his right. Williams going to throw. One-on-one. Davis has it. Touchdown. Carolina wins. Carolina is the Coastal Division champion.
Bernard fields it at the 26. Heading to the far side. Gio at the 35. Gio, he's at the 50. No, he's not. Yes, he is. Gio is going to take it for a touchdown. Are you kidding me?
Connor Barth for the possible win. Snap, spot, kick away, high enough, long enough. It's good! It's good! Carolina has won the game on a 42-yard field goal by freshman Connor Barth. Good gosh, dirty!
This is the Heel Tough Blog Podcast.
Hey guys, and welcome to another edition of the Heel Tough Blog Podcast. It's your host, Anthony Pagnotta, here with you guys as always. And look, we're in the middle of basketball season. We're getting ready for the NCAA tournament, but we have to take a little bit of time here on this Monday evening to talk to you about what's going to happen tomorrow, and that is the Tar Heels taking the field for the start of spring football. So it's been a while. It's been an off season here. Been really quiet over these last few weeks, and that's why it's been so tough to really get on here, talk about a lot of stuff going on with the team, because everything has been so silent. But we got some status updates on 12 Tar Heel players, whether they'll be with the team or not in the spring, so we'll tell you about that. I will give you the three things that I'm looking forward to the most in fall camp or in spring practice. And then we'll, of course, take a look at some of the comments from Mac Brown from today. Only a few of them that we'll really focus on as well. So it'll be a shorter edition of the podcast, just trying to get you guys caught up. And then, of course, you can turn that attention back to the basketball side of things. But yeah, let's start with the availability of some key guys for Carolina. And we'll start with the one that everybody's kind of wondering about, and that is the three players that were involved in the deadly accident that happened back in January. As most of you guys know, this was released a few weeks ago that the Chapel Hill police are pursuing charges against Zach Rice, the offensive lineman for the Tar Heels, which was a guy who was battling for potentially one of those starting roles on the interior of the offensive line. That, of course, is not the focus, but he was involved, it appears, in some way in, the accident that involved the death of a 20-year-old student at Carolina. When her car, the car that she was in, she was not the one that was driving. That driver has been charged, as well as another girl that was in that car as well. That car was going 124 miles an hour when it ran off the road, and led to an accident that unfortunately led to a loss of life. And so he is involved with the Chapel Hill police. There is more legal action being taken by the state of North Carolina and their alcohol prevention group that came down on guys in the defensive line room, both Travis Shaw, defensive tackle. Also, there's something stemming from a charge that he was supposed to show up for a court date in relation to marijuana possession, did not show up. And then Malachi Hamrick, just underage drinking, basically. So though both of those guys, dealing with a different set of law enforcement than Zach Rice is. But yeah, charges for all three of those guys that they'll be facing. And Mac Brown said today, look, the legal process has to play out. We are not going to take these guys off the field until there is something that comes down, but there will be disciplinary action that will be come down for all of those guys. So what I would probably have that or take that to mean is that once Carolina gets into the season, more than likely those guys will probably be suspended at least a game, if not more, to begin the year. Now, that's important, especially when it comes to a guy like Travis Shaw, someone that is probably going to be a part of the rotation in that defensive line room. Same thing with Zach Rice, who was probably going to get the opportunity to compete for a starting job. Don't know if that'll necessarily be the case now. Carolina will have to look at other guys, especially if he's going to be suspended for the opener or something like that. Well, then Carolina's going to have to adjust, and that probably means that they will go and take a look at somebody else along the interior of the offensive line, which is where Zach Rice was going to battle, probably at that left guard spot. And so now Carolina's got to, focus on finding somebody else that can step up there. Probably going to be Jonathan Adorno, a veteran who's been there for a while for Carolina. Malachi Hamrick was a guy that was hoping to factor in off the edge, but again, not really sure. And I think when it comes to the suspensions, it's hard to speculate on those types of things, but it could be varying for all of those guys. We have to wait and see what the punishment will be, what Carolina will do in-house, and ultimately we have to let the legal process play out as well. So a long way to go with that story. All right, let's focus on the other guys that are, that we received updates on today. Nine of them. We'll start with the guys on the offensive line. Two guys that will not be with the team in the spring, will not be with the team moving forward. Redshirt freshman Nolan McConnell, who redshirted last year, he is retiring from football. Wasn't clear in years past whenever they have had medical retirements. Typically, they have come out and said that that is the reason why guys are retiring. So it would, maybe tell me that that's not exactly the reason. It doesn't have to do with something medically, but it was just stated that he is retiring from football. So that's a guy that Carolina brought in the last class, liked as a developmental tackle. And, now he's gone from that room. That'll make them a little bit thinner there in the future. Same thing on the interior of the offensive line. DJ Geth, you guys know, of course, that his dad was a member of the 1993 national title team on the basketball side of things, and he committed to Carolina last year, was a part of the battle for the backup center spot a year ago, and now he's going to enter the transfer portal. He told the staff that that was the plan, so one would believe he won't be out there practicing with Carolina when they start tomorrow. And he'll be officially in the portal when it reopens in April. So, a couple blows in terms of guys that you were looking forward to in the future, especially Geth. Geth is a guy that I thought had some nice versatility. You saw him play center last year, and don't get it wrong, he struggled a little bit as a freshman. But at the same time, it's still a guy that you felt like with enough coaching, he would be someone that Carolina could develop and potentially have him play either, the center spot or one of the two guard spots, which was where he shined at the high school level. And so, that's a tough blow for Carolina. They're going to have to, figure out how to make it up. The good news is that as they showed in this past transfer cycle, they're not afraid to go out and get offensive linemen. Now, the thing is what's the talent level of the offensive linemen? That's certainly something that'll have to be looked at. But I still think for the most part, that room will be in good shape. They don't lose anybody crucial. These guys were probably going to be guys battling for, backup spots. So it's not going to be that detrimental to this season. Now we get to the guys that are injured and won't practice in the spring and then should be back for the fall. And this is a pretty significant list of guys. Tight end is just as decimated as it was when Carolina played the bowl game. John Copenhaver, a lot of people probably saw there was an offseason picture that was put up with a lot of the guys in that room. And you saw him, he had his arm in a sling. Looks like he's going to be out, you know, and still rehabbing that. So who knows when he'll be, you know, ready to join Carolina again. One would expect that it'll be sometime in the fall. But you hate to see that, especially after the offseason that he had last year and him coming back. I mean, you really think that he can probably make a pretty big impact for Carolina, especially now that Kamari Morales is out of that room. It is going to be him and Bryson Nesbitt really controlling everything for Carolina. And, you know, the thing is that Bryson Nesbitt won't be in there either. He's out as well. I believe his was a lower body injury that caused him to miss some games in the middle of the season. And then eventually he had off-season surgery as well. And so he's a guy that's going to be out for the entirety of spring practice. So your two main guys, your two returning guys are going to be gone there. Now, the good news is that Carolina did pick up the transfer, the brother of quarterback transfer, Max Johnson. Jake Johnson will be with the team. So that's huge. Carolina's got somebody at tight end that they know they can trust. They know is a Division I player who has some experience under his belt, an FBS a Power 5 player at that, now Power 4. But, you know, he's a guy that I think, you know, Carolina will probably try to work in throughout this season and probably even more so after he's able to build a rapport. I mean, he's going to have one clearly with his brother. We know that him and Max will definitely have a strong connection. But even Connor Harrell, Connor Harrell's probably going to get some opportunities to throw to him as well. And so he's going to be the guy that probably benefits the most from it because even when you go further down the depth chart, you've got, you know, redshirt freshman Julian Randolph, who missed all of last fall after he got injured early in fall practice. He's going to be out for the spring as well. An incoming freshman, and I'm not sure. I saw a tweet from my guy Michael Coe, and we're going to have Michael on hopefully tomorrow, but if not, it'll be sometime later this week. I'll have him on to talk about the start of camp. And I saw him tweet out today that Timmy Lawson, which is Timothy Lawson, who committed to Carolina in this last class that just wrapped up. He'll be a true freshman. He was a guy that early enrolled. He is going to be out, but he also listed him as a linebacker. So I'm not sure if Carolina has made that move already with him. I'd be kind of shocked because I really liked Timmy Lawson a lot as a tight end. I thought there were some really good things, his ability in the to stretch the field down the middle. I thought that was something that Carolina could really use in future years. Of course, with him, the same thing. As you know, a guy like Caleb Cost, he's a dual sport athlete, a guy that is going to play baseball for Carolina. So it is going to be, you know, about figuring out whether or not he's going to be on the team in future years. But you were hoping that this year he could come in and provide a little bit of a boost in that room. And so that means that the group that Carolina will have at tight end going into tomorrow's practice will be Jake Johnson, the transfer from Texas A&M, true freshman early enrollee Ryan Ward out of Rutherford High School in Rutherford, New Jersey, will join the team. And then Deems May, the third, the son of former Tar Heel tight end Deems May, who was the starting tight end for Carolina in the bowl game. Those will be the three guys, the three main guys. There are a couple of walk-ons that will be in that room as well. But those will be the three main guys that Carolina will have in that room when they start practice tomorrow. So that's going to be an interesting room to keep an eye on. It's a great opportunity for both Johnson and Ward, especially Ward. I think that's a great chance for him to come in and immediately prove himself. He's got, you know, some work to do as a blocker, but I really do think that he's got a great opportunity when he starts tomorrow to really impress this coaching staff. The thing that really stinks, on top of the fact that you won't have John Copenhaver and Bryson Nesbitt, is Carolina is going to miss two of their top receivers as well. Two guys that are going to play significant roles for Carolina on the outside, and potentially their two starters on the outside. J.J. Jones, who, you know, got injured late last year. I think he may have actually been banged up in the bowl game. Just when you watched it back, seeing some of the body language and stuff after certain plays, it looked like that's where he got banged up. He will not participate in spring practice for a second straight year. And then same thing with Gavin Blackwell. And that one really hurts. Gavin Blackwell was a guy that you wanted to see once again, you know, shined last offseason. Another offseason, especially to work with these new quarterbacks, would have been great for him. But unfortunately, he's not going to be able to be out there for the spring. He'll have to wait until the fall to really build a rapport with both of the quarterbacks that will be battling for the starting job. And so that means the door is left wide open for some of these younger guys to step up. The guys I would say to keep an eye on right now, I mean, Chris Culliver was one that we talked a lot about at the end of last year. And I think that he's a guy that's going to continue to jump off the page. He was impressing the Tar Heel coaches when he came in last summer and into when they took the field in the fall. And so I think that there is a good chance that he's a guy that could stand out once again this year, especially with him now being given the opportunity. Christian Hamilton, another redshirt freshman. He was a guy that, you know, has a little bit of versatility, can play in the slot, can play on the outside. I think they'll give him the opportunity out there as well. And you got another redshirt freshman in Paul Billups, who is also in that room. But the guy that is new coming in, a true freshman that I think is worth watching here. And again, this might be pushing it a little bit, but I still think it's someone that you should keep an eye on and sort of monitor how the coaches are talking about him, is Jordan Shipp. Again, I watched him last year. You guys remember, I did a video in the car after I watched him at Bank of America Stadium in the Key Pounding Classic, and he was fantastic. This dude can win on just about any route. He does an amazing job of creating separation. For a guy that's 6'1" and a half, wins a lot of jump balls, this is a guy that has the skill set to make an immediate impact at the college level. Will it happen? I'm not sure, because there's so many other guys in that room. But don't sleep on him potentially making an impact for Carolina there. But yeah, Culliver, I think, is probably the main name to keep an eye on, and then it'll be a battle between the rest of those guys in that room. The last guy that will not participate for Carolina in the spring is true freshman running back Jordan Louie. That one sucks too, because you really felt like him getting in there as a redshirt freshman, he was going to have an opportunity to potentially battle for a significant role this year behind Amarian Hampton and Darwin Barlow. Caleb Hood is expected to be back. I haven't seen anything on him, but again, there was some mysterious stuff towards the end of last year that had people sort of wondering. He wasn't available for the bowl game, so you kind of wonder what his status is and where his head's at in terms of staying with the team or heading to the transfer portal eventually. But Louie and true freshman Davian Gauss were two guys that were worth keeping an eye on this spring into the summer, because both of those guys, Gauss is an early enrollee as well, so he's going to be there. Both of those guys could be battling, and they're the guys of the future at that running back spot too. So it could have given you a little bit of a peek there, but Louie will have to wait into the season to see him on the field for Carolina. It's a significant blow, I think, in terms of the future guys at the skill positions for Carolina. And that's the biggest thing, is that Carolina wants to get some of those guys reps. Look, I think, you know, Louie, you may not need him this year. You really hope you don't need him this year with Hampton, Barlow, and potentially Hood ahead of him on the depth chart. But the other guys, I mean, look, and building a, you know, building that chemistry between them and especially the transfer Max Johnson, but even Connor Harrell. Connor Harrell's a guy that, you know, he was here last year. Some of these guys, a guy like, you know, Gavin Blackwell, who, you know, didn't stay as a full-time starter last year, probably had some reps with him from in the season when they were going through practices and even late in fall camp. They probably were able to link up a little bit as it became more and more obvious that Gavin Blackwell was a guy that was going to be on the fringe of being a, starter or a rotational guy. But I mean, the rest of these guys, you know, Copenhaver, Nesbitt worked with Drake Bay all of last season. Same thing with JJ Jones, because he was a full-time starter last season. So you wanted them to really be able to work on, you know, building some sort of rhythm with either quarterback, because there's a good chance both of them could play. Honestly, this is the most competitive quarterback battle that we've seen in a while. And so it feels like not having those guys out there will definitely be something significant. All right. In terms of what Mack Brown had to say today, I mean, look, there weren't a lot of major things that came out of it. Again, a lot of the stuff that I just talked about was really the main storylines that came out of it. The one thing, speaking of the quarterback battle, that he did say is that quarterback battle will be like the ones that we've seen in years past. Remember, Sam Howell was one that went up to about 10 days before the season started. Then they made their decision. Drake May was even closer. It was about 7-8 days away from the start of the season when Carolina made the decision that Drake May would be their starting quarterback over Jacoby Criswell. And this one could go even closer to the season. This could be one where, honestly, on game day, they may have to do a coin flip to figure out who is going to be the starter, because this is the closest quarterback battle, I think, since Chad Surratt and Nathan Elliott. Now, let's hope that things work out a little bit better than it did for those ones. But I think with Sam Howell, you know, we always kind of knew that Sam was eventually going to be the guy. And I think, you know, as we got further and further into the offseason, we started realizing, and especially once we got into the preseason and got into fall camp, everything that we heard, it was pretty obvious that Sam was going to be the guy. With Drake, I feel like there were some questions, but I think in the back of our minds, we all kind of knew it was going to end up being Drake. The only reason they might lean Jacoby Criswell would be experience. But once you heard about how he was impressing the coaches, you knew it was going to be Drake. This is one where, yeah, you could get to that point with one of these two guys. But I truly believe that this is going to be a fierce battle, because I think both guys are really, really talented. Max Johnson is a guy that when Carolina landed him out of the portal, and I was one of these guys, I thought there were other guys that Carolina could have been more aggressive in going after. But I think what it shows you is that there was some belief in Connor Harrell, but that Max Johnson is a guy that's talented enough where if Carolina needs him, then he's there. If not, then, hey, you brought him in, he's there for 1 year, and then he'll be off the roster, and Connor Harrell will be your starting quarterback. And so I think it was kind of a low-risk type of pickup. His ceiling isn't the highest. I think he's a very solid player. Is he a guy that's going to make guys around him better and really put the team on his back? Probably not, but there is something there. He has had success at both LSU and Texas A&M. There's been times where he struggled a little bit, but the thing that I would counter with is that you have to remember he's not going to have to play in the SEC. So there's not going to be nearly as much expectation on him as there was at both LSU and Texas A&M. And you're not having to go against SEC defenses every week. Now, the thing is that, you know, you look at LSU, Texas A&M, pretty good defenses in both spots that he went to, I'd say. And he comes here to Carolina, question marks about what kind of defense will be helping him on the other side. So we'll see. I think there's a good chance that he could be the guy that could potentially start the season. Again, you talk about the veteran presence. I think that could certainly weigh heavy, especially with Carolina having to go on the road to Minnesota. And Connor Harrell is a guy that has started one game in his career, and it was in a bowl game against West Virginia. So, I mean, I think there's experience there for Connor Harrell, but it's very limited. It's in a bowl game, whereas we know now teams are usually not fully stocked. And, you know, the first game of this season, you have to go to a hostile environment, a place that is not easy to win. I mean, PJ Fleck has built a pretty good team up there And it's going to be one that Minnesota is going to be pretty desperate to get out of the gate as well. So that'll be interesting to see how they handle it. But the thing is, you know, Connor Harrell is a guy that has the talent. We saw the flashes in the bowl game. His ability with his legs on the ground, probably the best that we've seen since Marquise Williams, if I'm being honest. I think that's something that Carolina can take advantage of more than they've been able to the last few years. I mean, we saw, you know, Sam Drake run for a good amount of yards. A lot of that was self-created, plays breaking down, them having to get out of the pocket and just create something on their own. Connor Harrell's a guy that you can run a lot more designed runs with. We saw it a little bit in the bowl game, not as much as we probably wanted to, but don't get it wrong. He is a guy that has a huge arm. He's pretty accurate. The thing is that you saw it, you're going to have to protect him because I don't know if he's a guy that can really carry Carolina the way that Sam and Drake did. Maybe he ends up being that guy. It'll take us a little bit of time to figure that out, but it's probably going to, it's probably going to be one of those situations where the guys around him, primarily looking at that offensive line, they have to step up. All right, let me give you a couple of storylines that I'm watching going into spring camp, and one of them is that quarterback battle right there. So I won't really go too much more in depth on that. But I'm really interested to see how this one plays out because, like I said, I feel like this one is the most competitive in 5 years or actually 6 years by now. That's crazy to think. But I really do think that both of these guys are going to throw punches throughout spring and then into the fall. And this is one I truly believe Mac Brown on, that this will go down to the very end. The other ones, looking back at the guys and how well they played, it's hard to believe that those guys were really in true battles till the end. I think that they had proven to the staff at some point, but just to keep guys motivated, the staff, and it's smart, they didn't reveal it. This is one that I really do think will go down to the bitter end, and Carolina will make a decision probably the week of the game, or they will potentially go into pregame warmups and make a decision once they get there as to who will be the starter. The good news is that if Carolina does go that route, I do trust this staff to be able to handle, you know, two quarterbacks if they are going to go in that direction better than we saw under Larry Fedora. Although that is not really saying much because as we saw with Larry, especially when you go back to the Marquise Williams, Mitch Trubisky battle, it was just confusing as all get out how they went about things in terms of trying to keep guys in rhythm, numbering off the drives, everything like that. But hopefully Carolina will have it figured out by the time that they get onto the field to take on Minnesota. The second storyline I'm watching is a big thing that's going to be that's going to help to determine the success of really both units. And it's what does this team look like in the trenches? On the offensive side, a lot of personnel change in terms of the actual roster. The players that have been rotated out, now Carolina's got to find new guys that can help them along that offensive line. Look, Diego Pounds being gone is huge. That one really stings for Carolina because you really wanted to see his growth continue. So Carolina is going to have to make the adjustment and figure out what they're going to do now that they don't have him at their disposal. And he was going to be probably their second best offensive lineman. The only guy that you have back now is Willie Lampkin. And so Carolina's got to figure out what exactly they are going to do. And, with Lampkin, they have to figure out, are they going to play him at center or are they going to keep him at right guard? And who knows? Mac Brown may have addressed that in the presser. I haven't been able to go through it fully yet. I will tonight. And then hopefully have something up for you guys tomorrow. So maybe they get into that. But, finding the solutions along this offensive line is going to be extremely important if Carolina wants to succeed because this was a unit that last year, again, very much like the past few years, started out great. You felt really confident about where this group was at. And quickly, started to show signs of cracking, and especially once you got to the second half of the year. After that game against Miami, it really felt like everything started to fall apart for that offensive line. And that's, you know, not something that you want to see from this group. Certainly, you are hoping that this is a group that, you know, this year can respond a little bit better, because this is the second straight year that it's happened. They started facing better defensive lines. And here's the thing. It's not that you started facing better defensive lines and struggled. You started facing better defensive lines and completely fell apart. It started in that Clemson game. And again, Clemson has so much talent that I think a lot of us were just saying, okay, it makes sense. That's Clemson. Carolina's still not there yet in terms of building that offensive line. But then you watch the performance against NC State, and that was a new low for the offensive line. I mean, from the word go, it's hard to go back to that game and find a rep that Carolina won. At least against Clemson, you won some early on rundowns. And that's the thing that Carolina's really got to figure out along that offensive line, is how do you get a level of consistency? And, I mean, at this point, it's a level of consistency that just needs to be average play. That's all you're looking for. Because where they're at these last few years is some of the worst offensive line play in the entirety of college football, especially in the second half of the season. And look, part of it is that guys probably get worn down. It's going to be up to the staff to be able to control that. They have to be able to rotate these guys more often. And if they don't, then they're probably going to be in a similar situation to the one that they faced this year. But it's really just about the guys that are playing the majority of the snaps just being better. And this is, you know, on the staff to develop these guys. You've been through three offensive line coaches in 3 years, heading into last year. Now you've got a guy in Randy Clements that is sticking around, and you're hoping that he is going to be there for a while and that this is the season. After last year installing everything, this is the year that he can help guys grow. Now, the thing is there's a lot of guys that are going to be transfers that will be coming into the room. You've got, you know, Austin Blasky, who you got to figure out where you're going to play him. I would say with losing Diego Pounds, a tackle, that might be the position that you're going to look to play him at. He'll probably be a guy that I would probably want more at right tackle, because that was the position that he was attempting to start at a year ago for Georgia. Typically, when guys play to a certain side, it's tough to get them to switch over to the other side. Trevion Green is a guy that has backed up at left tackle before. He's done a little bit of both. I think he's your guy, and Carolina's loved everything that they've seen from Trevion Green when he's been on the field. That's the problem, though, is that he hasn't been out there. But he's got to be one of your starters. Those two guys, I feel pretty good about. It's when you get to the interior of the unit that you start to ask some questions. And look, Zach Rice was a guy that I was hoping would potentially be able to battle for one of these jobs. I don't really know where that's at right now. And the thing is that, you know, the last few years when we've gone through camp, we have heard pretty much nothing about him. And I know he had an injury in his first year, but he's a guy that Carolina is attempted to move inside the guard. And right now, I don't know where his development is at. And of course, with the off the field stuff, it doesn't make it any easier. Jonathan Adorno is the veteran. Problem with Jonathan Adorno is we've seen him out there. There's not much to write home about. Now, he's a guy that still has a chance to improve, and hopefully that is the case. But it's, you know, hard to imagine that it's a guarantee that he will be a guy that can slide in there. And then, you know, same thing. I think there's some other interesting guys. I really like RJ Grigsby, very versatile guy from last year. I think he's capable of playing guard for Carolina. And there's another veteran in there that I don't think we talk a lot about. We haven't talked a lot about him here these last few years, but he's a guy that has been in Carolina's system for a while. It is just the second year under Clements, but I think that experience in college could help him. Bigger body. Remembering him from back in high school because of the high school that he played at, Charlotte Catholic. Malik McGowan is a name worth keeping an eye on. He's been there for so long that I think at some point he's going to be afforded an opportunity. And then, of course, you've got some guys, Zach Greenberg, the transfer from the D3 level, that will be coming in. And Howard Sampson at tackle is another guy that could eventually factor in out there. But again, there's so many things to figure out for that group. And it all starts with, where do you play Willie Lampkin? And as a result of that, probably where do you play Austin Blosky? And then you have to figure out the rest of that unit. So that's one of the key things. That's the most important thing that they have to figure out on offense. I think that might even be more important than figuring out the quarterback right now, is figuring out what offensive line group works best, and can you actually find a unit that towards the end of the year can hold up against the legitimate opponents that they face down the stretch of each season, which is going to be the case again this year, because this year it may involve you potentially getting a bowl invitation is going to be on the backs of how those guys play. You kick over to the other side, though. It isn't just the offensive line. It is the defensive line as well. That group really needs to show improvement as well, because it's basically the same group that is back from last season. And because all those guys are back, and I get it, they've got a new position coach in there, guy that hasn't been a college coach in a while. But this is the reason why he is here. He is a guy that's coming in to try to develop this group that, frankly, over the last few years, hasn't been developed the way that a lot of us probably think that it should have been. Again, so many guys that are key members returning: Kevin Hester Jr., Javari Ritzy, Travis Shaw will be in that room, Desmond Evans. All of those guys are going to be a part of this group this year. And for Carolina, I think it is important for these guys to show out. And that's really that group is really where you need to see improvement. They bring back Kamen Rucker, and I think they will, find somebody that can rotate in with him as well at the jack position from a group of really talented young edge rushers. But I think the biggest thing is that they have to figure out what's going on the interior of that defensive line. I mean, Des Evans, Bo Atkinson, I think those are guys that showed you some signs last year that probably have you pretty confident about them handling that power end spot. But what do they do at the defensive tackle spots? No Miles Murphy this year. He leaves early. And so that opens the door. Travis Shaw is the guy that has to step up, and we'll figure out the legal stuff. If that stuff gets figured out and he is a guy that's going to be out there for you for most of the year, is he a guy that can step up? Because if not, there are guys behind him that are going to be waiting for the opportunity. Joel Starlings, a guy that's built very similar to him, is going to be, pushing to have a role this year after redshirting last year. Rodney Laura, another guy to probably keep an eye on there. He's nearing 300 pounds, which is where Carolina likes their interior defensive linemen. So those are the guys that I think are going to be pushing Travis Shaw, and he really needs to step up, because if he can step up and you see more development, more consistency from Ritzy and Kevin Hester Jr., I mean, you just want to see him be able to get after the quarterback a little bit more often, then I think Carolina has a chance to be a solid defensive line group. But Ted Monachino has a lot of work to do with this room, because these guys simply have not been productive enough over the last few years. And in order for Carolina to get where they want to go, in order for this defense to start taking steps forward, you need them to be better. Yes, there are some areas on the back end of this defense that Carolina has been hit and miss at the last couple of years that you'd like to see improve. You like to see the tackling improve from everybody across the board. But if your defensive line is winning up front on rundowns, and if your defensive line is causing havoc on passing downs, it's going to make life tough for offenses against you. And Carolina hasn't been able to do that since the middle of the Larry Fedora era, which is scary. Last thing I'm keeping an eye on for Carolina, and Mack Brown actually mentioned this a little bit today in his press conference, is what are we hearing about special teams? Because I think this is going to be a focus of Mack Brown for the entirety of spring practice. He said today that one of the issues that he thinks has cropped up is that they have been playing a lot of young guys out there. That's been a way to get freshmen, redshirt freshmen on the field. and that, look, they need to play some of the veterans out there because they simply have to be better. And after last year, I mean, the woes that we saw on kick coverage, that wasn't even, and as bad as that wasn't even the worst. The fact that you had three punts blocked last year, including one that led to your punter getting hurt and became a key issue for you the rest of the year because you had to go to your backup punter, is simply unacceptable. It can't happen. Like, you've got to do a better job of protecting whichever punter is going to be back there for Carolina this year. And look, Carolina needs the punting game to be better than it was late in the year. Tom McGinnis is back. Is he the guy that's going to handle it? More than likely he will. He's the only punter listed on the roster right now. Don't know if they will try any of the kickers there, but seems like he's going to be the guy with Cole Maynard rolling out. And so it's on him to handle those duties better this year. It'll help if he can have better blocking in front of him to be able to do that. I think he has to be better. And the kicking game, I mean, look, it's in good hands with Noah Burnett. So that's the one thing that you've got going for you. But kickoff-wise, Carolina's got to be a little bit better. Liam Boyd was solid. Liam Boyd's got to become pretty much an automatic guy like we saw at times from Noah Kim before Jonathan Kim, before he left last year. And so, that's an area that if Carolina can get it cleaned up, if they can get some explosive plays in the kick return game last year, non-existent, despite having George Pettaway back there early in the year, a guy who thrived late the year before, and then eventually he ends up sitting out. Doc Chapman gets an opportunity back there. He struggles, and then he ends up leaving in the offseason. So Carolina's got to find somebody that can handle those roles and be productive in doing it. And if they can, then this group can take a step forward, and that could be a real difference for Carolina, because the struggles that they had last year didn't hurt them in many circumstances. As I mentioned, losing Kiernan was significant, but it didn't hurt them. There wasn't a game that you could point to and say that's what lost Carolina the game. This year, with a team that doesn't have nearly the margin for error that the last few teams have had because of their great quarterbacks and their guaranteed great offenses, I think you need that group to be more buttoned up. And so those are the things that I'm keeping an eye on. There'll be an article that'll be going up. Not sure exactly when I'll get that up. It's guys, when I tell you, it is absolutely insane what is going on right now. We had Mac Brown speak today, so I'm going to try to focus on, recapping his comments. I put up, the article about the 12 guys that will be out. If you want to read a little bit more in depth about those guys, that's up there on the website for you guys. And then, of course, basketball. I mean, we have been full speed podcast wise for basketball. We have recorded 8 times in 4 days. It'll be 9 and 5 later tonight. And this is the time of year we're at, especially with a team that's as good as Carolina is this year. So make sure that you guys are checking out all that content over on the website. But yeah, I'll get something up talking a little bit more about those storylines, as well as maybe a few others that I'm keeping an eye on. Some great battles that'll be going on in camp. And then definitely thinking about putting something up about the guys that could benefit the most from the spots that will be open due to the injuries in spring practice. As I said earlier, plenty of opportunity for some of the younger guys to step up and make an impression on this coaching staff. So keep an eye out for that on the website, heeltopblog.com. Of course, there will be plenty of basketball coverage as well for you guys. We have you covered. Josh wrote the article last night when Carolina was given the number one overall seed in the West, and he'll have you covered all throughout the tournament. Same thing with me on the podcast side of things. Both of us will be rolling on those previews as well as recap editions of the podcast. Everything, by the way, is just like this. It is live the rest of the year. So make sure that you guys are checking that out. Facebook page is the best place to check out the live videos if you want to check them out when we are live. And then, of course, if you're someone that likes to listen to the podcast, maybe you're driving into work or something like that, just like this podcast, you can find it wherever you get your podcast. And whenever you go there, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to both podcasts, the Four Corners Podcast for Basketball, Heel Tough Blog Podcast, of course, for football, and we'll take care of it. All that stuff, of course, can be found along with those articles on HeelToughBlog.com. Make it a daily thing to go to the website and check out what's going on. So, once again, that wraps it up for this edition of the podcast. I want to thank you guys for listening, and as always, go Tar Heels!